You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here, and today I am so very pleased to have AJ Saunders joining me from, as they say, you know where I'm going with this, across the pond. So AJ reached out to me because I don't know how, but he happened to find himself on my email list and I followed up on something that I had sent out. And we had a marvelous chat probably about a month ago. And I said, you know, you're kind of brilliant. Maybe we should have you come on to the show and let's share some of that brilliance with the audience. And so that has led to today. And so I'm very, very pleased to welcome AJ to More Perfect Marketing. AJ, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, we had a great back and forth when you just come back from London. That's what it was, you know, and yeah, we had a bit of back and forth. And then, yeah, we had a great call. And I thought you were one of the smartest people I've talked to in a long time. And yeah, so I'm totally stoked to be here. So honored. So yeah.
And so you we should say, while you are there in the UK, you are not in London. You're up in Bath.
Bath, correct? Yes. Bath. Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes. So people that have watched Bridgerton will know what Bath looks like because Bridgerton is pretty much set in Bath. But anyway, we'll gloss over that fact.
Is it filmed there? Is that where the location work is done?
Correct.
Oh, excellent.
Correct. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. So the this week they've just released Queen Charlotte, which is an adaptation of, or a continuation of the theme, I should probably say.
Mm-hmm. We call them spin-offs here in the US.
Spin-offs. Yes, it's a spin-off. And again, a lot of that is filmed in Bath. So the Royal Residence, the Holborn Museum, all of these great, great Georgian sites that are still very much alive and present and kicking today. So yeah, it's very, very exciting. Anyway, that's the history portion over.
Cool. Well, I don't even remember if it's Netflix or not, but we're not here to be talking about Netflix properties. We're here to be talking about marketing. And so let's talk a little bit about the work that you have done, because it spans beyond simply marketing. You're actually a product developer. You've worked in the ebook business. You've worked in the e-commerce business. And these days you own an organization that supports e-commerce businesses in their marketing activities.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of give my plot of history as this, because we're kind of kindred folks. So we both started off in the entertainment industry. So I started off as a musician playing in bars and clubs in London.
Oh, that's right. Jazz, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was all well and good, but I didn't make any money. And so, yeah, I came back to Bath and Googled how to make money online. And I found people like Pat Flynn, Neil Patel, Spencer Hawes, and lots of other random people. And essentially from there, I then started to read like Dan Kennedy books, lots of other people, you know, books. I read Good to Great, which, you know, is still an absolutely fantastic book that everyone should read. The E-Myth is another great book everybody should read. And I just kind of pulled my way up to, you know, building a small e-book publishing company, which still runs today. I then had an e-commerce company that had customers in 12 countries, and then it imploded quite spectacularly, which is a great story I'm going to write a book about one day. And then I moved to kind of do affiliate marketing, which is really, really interesting for me. And then about 2 years ago, so probably half through the pandemic, a friend of mine said to me, you really should be doing consulting. And she's a life coach. And you know how life coaches don't ask questions, but they do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was like very hesitant. She said, shall we talk about it? You know how life coaches say, shall we talk about it? And they mean, we are going to talk about it, right? And yeah, so from there, I ended up doing some consulting. And then, so last year, I spent quite a bit of time, so that's 2022. You're really struggling to find who I can help and how I can help them. And about halfway through last year, so July time, I got an e-commerce client. And I just felt like I found who I could help and how I could help them. and have a meaningful impact on their business. And I know that's something we talked about, you know, in our great little chat. You know, part of the battle is finding out who you can help and how you can help them. And the moment I switched to doing that, I've had great opportunities. I feel more comfortable within what I'm doing. So my life has changed in the last kind of like 7-8 months. And yeah, now I'm running a fantastic e-commerce marketing agency.
I love it. And I love the diversity of background, because I think it speaks to where, well, to a certain extent, where we're going these days, right? We had since the pandemic has become a reality in our world, the great resignation, the big quit, right, is what I've heard it called, where a lot of people who have and I don't think I heard any of this in your timeline, right, corporate jobs that they were showing up to every day, feeling like, you know, I realize I can go out on my own and discover stuff about myself. And so you've been doing that for your entire professional life, at least the part you've told us about. And there's
that is my 13 or 14. Well, no, my yeah, my nearly 20 years of professional life has been out of my own.
And a lot. Because of that type of experience where you're discovering and learning and self-taught around so many things, you come to the work that you do with, you know, an e-commerce business with a very different perspective than somebody who's been at a big, e-commerce agency, learned the agency approach to things, and then goes out and hangs their own shingle out and says, "All right, now I'm starting my version of my agency." And so I want to come around to, you know, our main topic that we're going to focus on today, which is sort of systems, process, and documenting it. But you've had to arrive at everything that you do from scratch, basically. You've had to figure out how to do it. You've had a lot of great teachers, either on podcasts, Pat Flynn, you know, is a good example, or books. Absolutely. Dan Kennedy is a great example. But a lot of that is self-taught.
So that's, I've never approached things from this kind of academic standpoint, right? And I think a lot of people approach life from a very academic standpoint. And they're not told how to think for themselves, like not in a general kind of think for yourself kind of way, but in terms of, well, what would you like from life and how then can you get it? They're taught, well, your career path is you go to university or college, as you would say. We're right, you're wrong. And then you do the whole get married, have 2.4 children, you know, and then you work in corporate 40 years and you retire, and then you expire. Whereas for me, I've always believed that I can duck and move, and I can duck and move fast enough to survive. And so it's a completely different mindset, and it's because I just haven't had the traditional opportunities, and the way that I've grown up and the way that, you know, I've formed my opinions about life is that it is just you duck and move.
I'm curious to know what you've been ducking from, but I'd like to talk a bit about how you've been able to apply that to the different things that you've done, because you launched the ebook business, you launched ecom business, and now you're helping other businesses in that space, and so you've had to adopt practices as you've gone into these new opportunities. Affiliate marketing was another one, where you had to be able to manage how you were proceeding. And I wonder if you can speak in a little bit more detail about, how you take the duck and move concept and apply it to those different situations.
Yeah, so this probably be completely left field, so I'm going to apologize to begin with, then we can come and center it back later.
That's why I ask long, extended questions and build extra thinking time into my guests' heads so that they have the opportunity to know where I'm going with the question, and they have an opportunity to formulate the answer. Incidentally, interviewer's trick. Yes. I'm doing that right now by intervening, giving you a chance to think more, and hopefully you have formulated some thoughts on the subject at this point.
I definitely have. So for me, it comes back to what are the core goals that I'm trying to reach, right? And so it's how you define those goals. And so, you know, say I wanted to cash out when I was 40, you know, for $10 million, right, or $10 million, right? That would be a goal that you could then try and plan and put KPIs and put benchmarks in place, right? And then you can work back from the 10 million and you could try and get there. And would you get there? Who knows? But you may get closer than if you just said, well, one day I'm going to be worth 10 million, right? And so for me, it always comes back to what is my compelling vision that I'm working towards that makes all this pain and all this turmoil, if you like, relevant to where we're headed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And therefore, what then are we doing? What am I doing then every day to move a step closer to it? So whether that's building, you know, network, whether that's building assets, whether that's cashing out certain things, whether that's going all in on other things, etc., to get me closer towards what the goal is. Because, you know, for me, strategy is the overarching plan. So the goal is X, and we're going to try, you know, we're heading towards that goal over a certain period of time, right? And the tactics may change, right? So for example, me starting doing some affiliate stuff kind of 5 years ago when the e-commerce business collapsed, right? It was just a way to make quick money that was easy using the SEO skills that I developed from, you know, SEO and social and market, you know, email marketing skills that I developed during running the brand. You know, whereas now I'm kind of parlaying everything that I've learned into running an agency and getting agency clients and trying to help people understand how to market more effectively and more efficiently, right? And so the tactics may have changed or may adapt to the circumstances and adapt to how I think I'm going to reach the goal, but the goal hasn't changed. And this is why I'm so wary when I talk to clients, you know, or I talk to people when they say, oh, I don't have a goal, because that scares the living daylights out of me, right? Because I sit there and I think, right, you know, a goal is a goal. It doesn't matter if you want to play golf on a Friday, you know, afternoon, or whether you want to be at home by 6 to put the kids to bed, or you want to make 10 million. A goal is a goal. It doesn't matter the velocity or the size or the scale of your goal. It matters that you have a goal and that you're doing something actively towards, well, you're actively working towards that outcome. Yeah. And so that's how I see life, is that we are moving towards. And so your time scale may get elongated, it may get shortened, but as long as you keep the faith and you keep doing the activity, you should get to the goal eventually.
I love the fact that you've brought up one of my favorite words, which is strategy, and then skillfully explained how it actually gets applied. And it's something that I find a lot of both marketers and business owners really neglect to understand or embrace. And so I think that's a great place to start. Is yeah. Identifying where you're trying to get to in a very clearly defined way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the next step is obviously figuring out what are those tactical pieces, as you said, to get there. And then how do you manage all of that? And you talked then, of course, about pivoting based on, you know, the environment or the circumstances.
Yeah.
Let's focus in on the area of the application of tactics, and
sure.
And another area that my business partner loves to talk about, which is documenting and then staying on track with it, because this is an area right. that I think most businesses don't cover, right? They fly by the seat of their pants.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm curious, how did this come up for you initially? Did you find that you were struggling through something and you said, I got to fix this. Maybe I need to start documenting, or is there another less interesting way that that it arrived?
Okay, so well, when I was 30, I went to stay in Monaco for a couple of nights. And I've got family in South France that have been there for 35, 40 years, right? I absolutely fell in love with Monaco. I'd been to Monaco by that point two or three times before. And I met a real estate agent who said, you need €500,000 to move here to get the residency, and then you can do that, right? And so everything that I've been doing for the last 5 years, I just turned 35 in March, has been literally, how can I build something that doesn't involve me, but I'm still active in, right? That gets me close towards that goal. And so did I hit my five-year goal of getting to Monaco? No, I didn't, sadly, right? But I now have in place the documentation to be able to give to people to be able to scale pretty efficiently, pretty quickly. But I'm also, when I'm building up my agency at the moment, I'm also thinking, right, you know, so for example, I run a productized agency, so you're buying products, you're not buying, you know, I don't really like going pitching for clients, right? I go and I say, right, okay, well, you know, step one is we do a 3-hour strategy session. Step two is then we see what services you need, and then we try and link that back to what the strategy session was and how the tactical element of that works out. And so, you know, anyone can come in and can see the documented process, right, from the get-go, which obviously helps them understand where we're going. But it also means that I don't have to be involved. So things like, so for example, before this recording, I've been updating a blog post on one of my big affiliate sites. And I'm actually following a 27-step process that's documented, right? So I've been sat here for the last hour not thinking, which is great, right? Because I'm just ticking boxes. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, totally. I'm fascinated, right? And I love the fact that you're disciplined was the word that I was looking for, enough to actually follow a 27-step process to accomplish something.
Yes. But yeah, here's the thing, and here's what I encourage my clients to do, and I always say, people try to jump, yeah, three steps ahead, right? So they always think, when they're writing SOPs, when they're trying to document something or build templates, they always think, well, we need to jump from point A to point Z, right? What they don't see, and, you know, my joke last year was I was the most overpaid checklist writer in the world, because I spent quite a lot of time last year with clients writing checklists, right? But a checklist with some, you know, with some more detail, so, you know, better instructions, you know, some images, some screenshots, links out to other documents, that's an SOP. So actually jumping from one thing to the next thing actually isn't that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But what a lot of people don't think, and I've been talking about this for years in terms of, like, keyword research. A lot of people think, like, in terms of keyword research, they have to go onto their keyword planner, they have to try and get, you know, they have to try to be creative and logical at the same time and analytical. Where actually they sat there and said, right, you know, can we come up with 5 ideas today that we could potentially write an article about, or we could potentially build a product page about, right? And if you do that enough times, and then you come back an hour later with a fresh mug of coffee, and you then do the analytical part, you're segmenting your brain into a single function, and therefore you're not conflating your brain, you're not asking your brain to do too much at once. And so how that applies to documentation, this is the kind of the key thing, is I say to people, just write down the steps. They don't need to be the right order. They don't need to be all there, but just write down the steps that you think you go through when you're trying to get to an outcome. And I say, you know, can you remember grandma's, you know, cake recipe for Victoria Sponge, right? And they go, oh yes, because I've got it written down. Interesting, show me that. And they duly show me this piece of paper that has, that one is, you know, the flour, the eggs, the sugar, you whisk it all together, etc., right? And I just think of checklists as being the same thing, right? And so, yes, so step one is just try and record down in, you know, in somewhere in some form, the basic steps, right? The second step is then to try and arrange them into a more logical sequence. So using the cake analogy, you want the flour first, then the eggs, then beat it together. You wouldn't beat the cold air, then throw the eggs, and then throw the flour, would you? Yep. Right. But it might take you, you know, writing it all down to realize that you need to do it in logical order. So that's kind of like step one, step two. And then step three is you then try and run it without thinking, right? Because if you try and run it without thinking, you'll get to step four and you think, oh, crap, I forgot to, at that point, I should have done this, right? And then you brought that in, or you give it to another team member and you say, can you just try this for me, right? And you film them doing it, like my screen share, or you get them to write notes and they're going. And then you realize, yeah, step four is actually a three-part step, and we need to kind of segment it down into three steps. And then step four of our process is you then start to think about, right, okay, how can I make this really, really, really accessible for somebody that isn't maybe as technically skilled or as technically knowledgeable as I am? So you do things like screenshots, or you do things like Loom videos, or you do things like screenshots, Loom videos, and, you know, maybe holding the handle the first time, right? Taking them through the steps. So they have, you know, they have the three different learning styles catered for. And so when they have to do it for the first time on their own, it won't be as great as you can do it, but it will be 70, 80, 85% of the way there.
I'm curious, and I know that you're working specifically in, you know, e-commerce environments where, you know, there's obviously a lot of repetitive tasks that are specifically technical, like you're introducing a new product to the site, and there's things that have to surround that product, like a description and a listing and pricing, and I don't know e-commerce that well, but that was the obvious stuff. And trying to figure out where the process and documentation around that stuff seems very logical. But I imagine that there's places in a business where process and documentation is not as obvious, but just as critical. And I'm curious if you've identified and come across with clients those less obvious things that need to be documented.
Yeah, so I think every marketing tactic that you try can be documented, right? Because even if you're asking somebody to be highly creative over this side, so with like product listings, right? Because that's a great example, and I'll expand. Yeah, you might have somebody that takes a photo, somebody else writes a description, and then, you know, somebody else then prices it up. You know, somebody else then thinks about what category it should be in a site architecture. And then you might have somebody that then puts it all online together, right? So it takes 400 people in concert to kind of figure it out, right? And so the person who uploads it, maybe the person that is the linchpin who's, you know, saying, well, actually, you know, I need to go talk to Sandra because Sandra can take the photos, and then Bill's going to write the description. And they are therefore running a process, right? And it's the same thing, like, you know, If you're writing a weekly blog for your company's website, right? So say you're a financial advisor, right? And there's a new trust structure that comes out, right? The person who writes the blog may not be the one with the technical knowledge of what the new structure is, because it may be a marketing function, not a product-led function, right? But you have to have input from the both, right? So the process may be, well, I go interview Bill because Bill is our senior tax advisor, right? I then go do a bit of research on the government website to understand, you know, then go back and talk to Bill. I then write a blog post, then send the blog over to Bill, send the blog over to, you know, to Mary, who's the head of marketing, to double check things, to make sure that things are, and you're still running a process, you know? A client that I had last year, we made about $1,000 sending one email. The email took us about 10 minutes to write. We spent 45-50 minutes thinking about the process to make it repeatable, right? And so within that hour, they moved from thinking, holy crap, loads of people are going to unsubscribe and it's all going to be terrible, the sky's going to fall down. And, you know, it's going to be, everything's going to go wrong, right?
Right. Which, by the way, is, I think, the reaction that almost every client I've ever worked with has about some email that we plan to send out, right?
Right, 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 right. So we are from total chaos to saying, okay, right, so what components do we need? Right, so we need a date, we need an offer, we need a headline, we need some, you know, a template, we need some artwork or some photos, right? And then we then need to upload it into MailChimp. That's the software that we're using, for example. And so again, so we in that hour essentially went, right, okay, cool, right, this is the, you know, these are the 12 steps that you need to follow. Can you now repeat that? Yes. Can you now give it to somebody that hasn't been on this call today, and they can understand with a little bit of coaching, maybe some hand holding, what the process looks like? Absolutely. And so therefore we in a repeatable thing, right? Does that make is this all
totally
making sense?
And I think, you know, you've made it clear that there's a lot of activities that happen in any sort of business, right? You've been talking about, you know, e-commerce businesses, but even that financial advisor point was well taken, that we likely will engage in with some recurring, you know, frequency, whether even if it's, you know, once a year we do it, but remembering how we did it the last time and what the process was, who was involved in what order, you know, all of those things are critical. And, you know, you just commented that you saw a post of mine on LinkedIn that you liked, and my quip in that particular post was about the fact that ChatGPT and AI mentions are inescapable at the moment. So I was about to say that documentation of process helps speed things up, makes us more efficient, just like ChatGPT does. And then I realized, oh dear, I've just fallen into the trap of mentioning it. And I hoped that I would get through it a full hour without it coming up again. But alas, that's not the case.
Alas, we beat it the final hurdle.
Yep. So, I mean, there's a logic to what you're talking about, right? Don't neglect the taking a few extra minutes, 40 minutes in advance of writing an email to figure out how every email that you're going to write from today on is going to efficiently be generated and dispatched.
Yeah. And, you know, because the next step for me beyond this, and I know you're probably going to shout hallelujah when I say this, is everything that we do in marketing and in business is a working document, right? And so that email process and other processes that I help that business develop should be looked at every month or every quarter and said, right, does this still make sense for us to have this document, or have we written something? Yeah, have we written another document? Yeah, you know, have we documented the process like differently in a different form that actually makes more sense, and therefore that document isn't irrelevant, or actually, you know, we've changed our, you know, our ESP, our email service provider, and therefore your steps 6 through 8 don't make any sense anymore. So we need to go and change them, because, you know, what happens if Betty leaves and we have to find somebody else to replace her, right? And so I'm a massive fan. In December last year, I wrote a business plan. I still haven't finished it. We're now May. And it's not because I'm lazy. It's because every month, or like every 6 weeks, I'm going into that document and saying, what have I learned since I last updated it? What tactics have I been trying? What hasn't worked? What has worked? What have we been spending money on? Right? And so it's constantly evolving. It's also constantly evolving in terms of, like, we work in a dynamic marketplace, right? And so if we go to the market and say, right, I got this great offer, I got this great program, and half of them say, well, I'll take half of that, then you need to come back and you need to retool your product, right? Your service or whatever, right? And so that business plan will never be finished, and that's on purpose. A lot of these documents that I write and that I use every day will never be finished, because they're in a constant state of being rigorously tested, rigorously analyzed, whether they are appropriate for purpose. And if they're not, then I have to throw them out. If they are, then we keep running with them, right?
I just want to push pause there, because you've made a point that I think very few businesses pay attention to. The purpose of all of this documentation is not so you have something documented so you can say, I did the documentation, put it in a binder and put it on the shelf and never look at it. These are working documents that are intended to support the ongoing operation of a business.
And I think that's very academic though, right? I think academically we're told that we have to tick the box, right? We, you know, we have a final year, we have an end of year exam, or we have a final course paper to turn in, right? Whereas actually in reality, life is not like that. Life is a continual process of learning, developing and changing and adapting and thinking. And therefore there is no real tick box. And so if you're still dragging that mentality of, well, we have to the box, we have to, you know, sell one leg as we do this, because that's what we've always done, that's how we've always done things, then you're missing out on a lot of learning and a lot of ability to grow as a human. Whereas if you're constantly challenging yourself and challenging what you've got documented, it makes a lot more sense, right? Oh, and it's much more fulfilling.
100%. This, as I think, is obvious to you, and I assume to our listeners, a topic that both you and I could geek out on for hours. But I'm afraid we probably are going to bore everybody except each other. And so I want to give folks who do want to continue this conversation with you an opportunity to know where they can find you keep chatting and going down the rabbit hole of process, documentation, and building a better, more efficient, more consistently profitable business.
Yeah, sure. So there's three kind of avenues, right? So you go to the website, which is ajsdigitalgroup.com, and I have a blog on there that I update every week about e-commerce marketing, but there's lots of gold in there just about marketing in general. So just ignore the word e-commerce if you see it, you're not in e-commerce. You can book a 30-minute discovery call with me, which I'd love to talk to anyone. There's no expectations. I'm down for having good chats with good people. I post pretty much every day on LinkedIn, so that'll be in the show notes. And then I'm quite active myself on Instagram. And so, yeah, so pretty much those three. I'm more than happy to talk to people. I'm more than happy to help if I can. Yeah. So
brilliant. Well, of course, ajsdigitalgroup.com is the main website, and we'll include your social links in the show notes as well. Hey, AJ Saunders, thank you so very much for hanging out. This has been a lot of fun. It's, as I said, a topic that I like to geek out on, and I hope we've kept a bunch of our listeners tuned into the end as well, because this is a worthwhile and kind of important topic that far too many businesses neglect.
Absolutely. I've had the time of my life.
Brilliant. Folks, if you know somebody who could benefit from listening to the conversation that you just heard, and I'm pretty sure you do, please send them this episode. Until next time, my name's David Baer, and this has been More Perfect Marketing. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.